We'd have been here sooner, but there was this loudmouth preacher at this church, and he just wouldn't shut up. Try as you may. They offered me $50 to shut up, and I said, I got more integrity than that. And then they finally came up with the right number, and I said, well, you hit my number, so I'm willing to shut up. I spoke for the first class was on salvation, looking at what I'd spoke to the week before, but I rewrote it. I trimmed it down from 1 hour and 10 minutes to 1 hour and 5 minutes. And so that worked out pretty good. And then I set my clock to 45 minutes, and I forgot to hit my button. And halfway through, I looked at my clock, and I knew I only had 45 minutes. That was their ending time. And I went, uh-oh. And so I preached till I was done. I want you to know I had them Baptist sinners hanging over the pits of hell, burning, just like a good Presbyterian minister would. But finally they said, we got money, we give up. So we're here. We had a good time. I seen some friends I haven't seen in probably 25 years. And it's good to see that you're still in the faith. And you be in prayer down there. It's really kind of a gathering of the pastor's family. I think he's got 30 grandchildren, and I think most of the people there are all related. I mean, if you had a church split, you'd have a family split. But it was nice to be there. They were a lot of fun. They're enjoyable. I've known Dan for many years, and so it was an exciting time, and we did have a good go of it, and I think that we accomplished much for the kingdom of God. If you will, we are going to turn back and continue with our series entitled Written with the Finger of God. We're still in the fourth commandment, which is to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Our sermon text for this series has been Deuteronomy 9. Verses 10 and 11. Then the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Now, by way of introduction, let's remember that the fourth commandment, just to bring our minds back to thinking about what is being commanded here, is set forth in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your works. But the Sabbath day of the Lord your God, in it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, and your manservant, your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That is the fourth commandment as it is in Exodus, of the giving of the law of God to Moses. Now in the larger catechism, we were looking at question 115. Which is the fourth commandment? And the divines answered it in this way. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and in them all that is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now we've been looking at this very commandment, and I want us to continue and draw pretty much this commandment toward a close. As we've been looking at all these commandments, we're now forced with looking at this question. What should be our principal business of the Sabbath? The moral principle, this creation ordinance of God given to us, is both of a public and private operation of God's command to us to honor and glorify Him. Now, we mean by use, dealing with the public exercise of God's worship, the following. The public exercise of the worship of God, these are the services of the church, including the regular worship service where the Word of God is preached, also other set or required church meetings, not ad hoc meetings or simply hastily draw meetings or things that we say this class is optional, you don't have to attend it. We're saying when we, as the church, say the church needs to meet Sunday morning and Sunday night, then that is required for the church to obey. It's whether it's one meeting, whether it's two meetings, whether it's Wednesday night, or whether it's come as you have opportunity to come, of course, necessity and mercy always has to play a role in these things. And thus, Sabbath schools, Bible studies, and classes, prayer meetings, if they are set and called for by the officers of the church, it is required that we simply be there. There's no arguing over it. It is the church that has the responsibility as the pillar or ground of truth to determine what is most important for the building up of the body of Christ, what is needed. That would also include, by the way, fellowship dinners and such public fellowship. Anything adding to our sanctification of life. It is so important to remember why we gather. We don't gather on Sunday to have fellowship because we're hungry, although that doesn't hurt. But at the same time, we gather together because we want to spend time together as brother and sister in Christ, and we want to be able to spend time helping each other in the faith that we live. We do not transaction business like we would do during traditional weekdays, but it is the day given to the Lord. Our goal is to better sanctify our life. Thus, anything related to any category that is related under the principle of the Holy Scripture is a topic that can be discussed. Can we discuss what is the right policy in the United States in the civil magistrate? Well, of course we can. The Word of God speaks to it. We can speak to it. We can discuss many things, but we are not to be doing anything that is of the nature of private type enterprise, that which is designed to do normally the other 6 days of the week. Now, as I would simply note to you, again, this is my personal thought on the matter, that I think such events as properly offered, and when they are offered, when they are beneficial to a person's personal growth in Christ, apart from necessity and mercy, participation needs to be mandatory. But not that we say you should come. You should be saying to yourself, I want to go to be with the people of God. I want to grow in the grace of God. It may be something that you would rather do something else in its place, but you know that you need out of necessity to be there in order to increase your knowledge, to increase your sanctification of life as you persevere in your salvation unto the Lord. Well, that's the public exercise. Not too hard. It's pretty easy to figure out. We do it Doesn't matter what time you set it for. You can do it Sunday morning. You can do it Sunday afternoon. You can do it Sunday evening. The day is set aside to the worship of God. You don't have anything else you have to do. The one thing you have to do is you have to put God and His honor and His glory ahead of everything else you do. So it doesn't matter the time, although time could be nice to get up and not have to feel like you're pushed in the morning. Well, I like the afternoon services that we do. There are times that I would not mind doing them later, but since our Sabbath ends at 6, we've got to get it in before 6. So within that time frame, there's nothing else that is pushing us or pinning us down to do anything else but be at the service of the Lord. This is a creation ordinance mandate. The moral principle of it is to keep the day set apart for God. And thus, you have nothing that you have to do on that day that is as important as being with the Church of Jesus Christ, to be in its fellowship, to be in its nurture, to help others in their nurturing. We help one another. We fellowship one with another. They are times of refreshing and joy. They bring grace to our hearts. They make souls merry and happy. And so that's what the public worship of God is all about. That we might, in the midst of all the turmoil and all of the evil things that we have to deal with in society, sometimes not as oppressive as other times, but when it's there, we are getting help, grace, and fellowship, encouragement to make it through and never stumble at the problems of the world. Well, then what are the private exercises of God's worship? Well, this is where it gets really tough, doesn't it? You have those very strict Sabbatarians that want to say, if you even breathe, it might be questionable on the Sabbath. Maybe you just need to hold your breath and not breathe at all. I don't think they're that strict. I'm just giving them a hard time. But there are some things that we should really consider. I have never been one to sit down and simply say, it has to be this and this. You have to make up your mind. There is an accountability you have in the worship of God, on the Sabbath in particular, and in our giving of our day to the Lord amongst our family. So what are these private exercises? They include family and its worship and private duties on the Sabbath day in honor of God. As for the individual in particular, this day is an important day. It is a day in which personal Bible reading is required. It is a day that we should give ourselves to the study of theology. It is a day that we're to give ourselves time for prayer. Now, I realize they're so busy sometimes, we don't do many of these things. But these are required of us. This day of worship also includes our family home life, not just gathering at the house of the Lord for having worship service. Thus, as it pertains then to the family itself, this would include family worship, religious instruction of the children is something else that is given to that day. Religious conversations that deal with issues that are of religious nature, i.e. not just the Bible, but anything that we relate to this life from the Word of God, whatever is explicit, implicit, or by good and necessary deduction, reason therefrom. Fellowship and the like is not pertaining to employment or the daily labor of our life. That's what we are fleeing from. This is what we are giving ourselves to. This is God's tithe. It's His time. It's what He requires. out of 7 days, he didn't say, okay, worship me 3 days and work four. He said, worship me 1 day and work six. And if you can't get it done in 6 days, more than likely the seventh day wouldn't help you. And even if you violate the seventh day, where there needed to be no violation of it, God still may turn that profitable thing as unprofitable because you have sinned against him. Well, the question then becomes, what preparations must we make in order to rightfully observe the Sabbath? We must prepare our hearts. That is, think about the Sabbath. To think about the duties that are required of us as we come. The privilege that we have given through our redemption God has blessed us with. Those blessings. Things that help us to be mindful of his day. His worship. We must adequately attend to our worldly business beforehand, so that we will be free on the Sabbath day, not only from worldly business itself, but also to ensure things that are necessary to fulfill your duties will not be hampered. There's nothing in this life, nothing except out of necessity and mercy, and those two categories have clear limitations, should ever interfere with our day of worship. But we are to give ourselves in that time to the Lord. The larger catechism in the question number 118, the divines ask this: why is the charge of keeping the Sabbath more specially directed to governors of families, that is, of heads of household, and other superiors? And the divines answer that question. The charge of keeping the Sabbath is more specifically directed to governors of family and other superiors because they are bound not only to keep it themselves, but to see that it be observed by all those who are under their charge. And because they are prone oft times to hinder them by employments of their own, and thus hinder those who are under the charge. We must ask then, on whom is the Sabbath commandment binding? Well, the Sabbath commandment is binding on every individual human being. Everyone in the world. No one can escape it. It's a creation ordinance. It was a part of the created ordinance for mankind. It's required of all governments, of all organizations, all organizations, even of those corporate-style associations where human beings are required to be a part of. There is not a person in this world, not an individual or a collective group, who has any right to disregard or violate the commandment to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. That is our duty. There are things that always come up that we'd really like to do, but you gotta learn to put them aside. This is not your day. God didn't say, oh, okay, it's my day. Give me a prayer, attend church, put in a tithe, go your own way, do your own. No, no, no. We don't have a liberty like that in Christ. Well, this of necessity requires us to ask what class of people are under an added obligation to obey the commandment. Governors of families in this question and answer, and other superiors it mentions. That is, persons whom God has placed in positions of authority in the family, in positions of authority in the church, or whether it be in the state or in private employment and organization, they are under the added obligation to obey this commandment. They are seen as the one who models the Sabbath. I respect the Sabbath because he who is the head of my home, or he is the head of my government, or he that is the head of my church, keeps the Sabbath day as well. The general truth that the greater authority involves greater responsibility holds true in the matter of Sabbath observance, as it does in other matters as well. Well, having said that, how are heads of families to see that the Sabbath is observed by the members of their families? Well, I like this question in particular because I think it's very pertinent almost in every generation. First of all, by all heads of households, we said, themselves setting a good example of the Sabbath observant, regarding the Sabbath not as a burden, but as a delight, and it's set before them. Not, oh, we have to go to church. Oh, I really wish I didn't have to go to church. No, we go to church because we love to go there. We are promised that we will have a individual meeting with Christ. We will be raised up, as Calvin said, into his presence, the Spirit filling us, and we will worship Christ in our presence spiritually. Who does not want to come and worship Christ? I don't understand. What kind of Christianity is that? It must not be the one of the book, because the book says we have to do that. In the second place, by instructing those under our authority in the obligation and duties of Sabbath observance. In the third place, it is necessary by using their God-given authority and forbidding worldly activities which would violate the holiness of the day. That's our, as it were, kind of, in the view of those under you, the ugliness of being responsible for the Sabbath. Can we do that? No. Why? It's a Sabbath. Boy. Their job is to teach them to make it a delight. Of course we can't. Don't you love God? Don't you want to honor him? You don't want him to extract judgment upon you for breaking his law, do you? You want to be blessed. This day is a day of rejoicing, of refreshment. It's a day away from the world. It is a day in the presence of Christ, both in our home and in our church service. We are often confronted by the greater question that comes from our own children. Is it not possible for heads of family to be too strict? I don't think there's ever been a generation of children that never failed to ask this question. Is it not possible that you're being just a little bit too strict in requiring Sabbath observance? Well, to be very honest, it is possible. Of course, to be unreasonable and unbiblical, thus, in our strictness about the manner of the Sabbath, is outside of the very command of Scripture. Thus, what is commanded in Scripture, we institute. That which is not instituted in Scripture, we do not do. And we keep this day holy to the Lord as our delight. But it is possible that some may use strictness as a legalism to withstand their children from doing certain things. And from that, if it's unbiblical, there'll be a resentment for it. But the tendency today is really just the opposite, as I think it's been probably in almost every generation. It's in the direction of too much toleration, too much carelessness and disregard for the sanctity of the Sabbath of the Lord our God. It should be well if there was an emphasis on a more strict observance of the Sabbath day among church members and their families. I'm sure we fail on a regular basis. We're all guilty of it. We have so many things that we're doing in our life. Sometimes we're so preoccupied. Sometimes I think when I'm preaching, your mind isn't here. I'm not sure where it's at. It could be on Jupiter or Pluto, who knows? But it looks like an empty shell that I'm speaking to. Because something has got us preoccupied. A problem, a issue. When in reality, we need to put it aside, knowing this, God will care for us. And those things will work themselves out according to his divine plan. There's not one thing we can do to change the outcome. But when it comes to the Sabbath day, those things are put behind us. If we're looking for biblical counsel on how to handle certain problems, that's different. Of course you can have counsel. Of course you can consult people over those kind of things. But the issue is, it's not still interfere with your Sabbath day observance. And so there always has to be some check and balance in what is required and not required on the Sabbath day. And of course, we have to remember there must be some allowances for little children. They cannot expect it to be observed the Sabbath exactly in the way adults should. Their intellectual skills and attention skills are not at a high enough level for the duration of the time needed. Thus, we make provision. If they act up, we ask them to be taken simply to the back of the church to not disturb the worship service, and there to train them. Don't let them run free. Train them. What is required when you come to the Lord's Day? Take the time necessary to be able to bring them back as soon as possible to be with us as a family unit. That's very important. Yet even young children need to be made aware that there is a difference between the Sabbath and the other 6 days of the week, and that activities which are proper on an ordinary day are wrong on the Sabbath. For example, we put our children in the back, I just said this to you, the service, to learn how to quietly observe the Sabbath and to worship and not play. And so they just don't do what they do on the other 6 days. Playing is not a part of the Sabbath. Playing at church is designed around the aspect of when we are free and they can go outside and they can be free from the activities of our church because we have set those times, we've met them, then they're free to play. But during the service, they're not free. They're to be taught to be quiet, reverent, hear the word of God. They may not understand all of it. And we encourage them, if they want to draw pictures of whatever the preacher's preaching on. I'm not sure what some of the pictures mean when they show them to me, but whatever they thought I said and what I said clearly are two different things. But at least they're participating. They're thinking. They're thinking about how to illustrate it at the picture and later with illustrations and with words. Very important to us to be very clear about the Sabbath observance. But if the supreme devotion of our life is our love to God, we will welcome the opportunity and the privilege of turning aside from the ordinary affairs of the world to devote our Sabbath day to worshiping God, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness in a special way. Now comes that ugly part that nobody wants to hear. What kind of activity should be excluded from family life on the Sabbath? Oh, drat. You'd think the preacher would just overlook that. Well, while some activities may perhaps be classified as doubtful, but here again, that's your call. It's your family. You're responsible. What you allow them to do, not only will you be held accountable for, but you'll be held accountable because other children may be looking at your children and saying, well, my parents don't think the Sabbath ought to be looked upon that way. I think we always put our best foot forward where we can with and possible when we're around other believers and sharing time together. But there are some things that are considered unquestionably wrong. I won't go into all of them. Some of them I think are definitely left to you. But here are some things historically. Let me put it this way. So I want you to think about it. It's in our structure of what we have taught historically in the faith. And you're going to say, oh, I wish that would have been not put in the sermon. But that's okay. For example, studying day school lessons, since this is a primary work performed on the other 6 days of the week, by children should never be employed on the Sabbath. Schooling is out. You have 6 days to school. Seventh day belongs to God. That is their vocation, to be educated. When you go to school, your vocation and life, your calling is to be educated. That education is to be performed 6 days a week, and the seventh day is to be set aside, and there is to be only the worship of God, and education is not on the agenda. That is a vocation that is called for during the 6 days prior to the Sabbath. Reading entertainment type of books and magazines. You know, those kinds that are really just designed to entertain you. That's forbidden on the Sabbath, historically, according to the Reformed and Presbyterian Church. Reading business or such related newspapers for the purpose of bettering yourself. Well, I wonder how the stock market's doing so I know how my stuff is going, etc., etc. Whatever the case may be. Again, that's going back to your business. No, the day is not designed around you taking the day off and just enjoying yourself, relaxing, and reading about your business. The employments of the world are done 6 days a week. This day is belonging to the Lord. Listening to radio or television broadcasts, with the exception of religious orthodox type broadcast, has always been looked upon in the history of the church. The question is, what is the purpose of the entertainment for? And what does it lead us to? Playing organized sports in a kind of a league, you know, little league, hot stove league, professional baseball league, whatever the case may be, whether it's indoors or outdoors, basketball. It is a professional sport. I'm not talking about going outside with the kids and shooting their basketball at the hoop and playing with them. I'm talking about those organized sports that are done where you're taken away from the family and it's not an interactivity of the family. Writing on subjects related to employments or those activities we are to recuse ourselves from on the Sabbath day. Conversation about your personal and financial business matters. Ordinary socializing. If the Sabbath is given for social instruction and fellowship and encouragement, it's not a regular social day when you can go on the other 6 days and just visit a friend and, you know, as we say, shoot the breeze. It's not. It's not a day to just sit back, relax, and, you know, hey, you know, how'd your baseball team do yesterday? You know, talk about the game. I remember a story, John Murray, who was very strict, much more stricter than I would be on the Sabbath, but it was his view, and he lived by it, was invited to eat dinner, and he was invited there because there were some faculty members and their wives coming, and there was a young unmarried lady there, and John Murray was not married. And the idea was to put him next to her at the table. And so as they did, they sat down to eat dinner, and the conversation turned to, of course, baseball. And they all, the women and men, joined in and just were having a good time talking about the baseball, et cetera, et cetera. And the young lady, trying to be inclusive because she was kind of attracted to Dr. Murray, looked at him and said, "Dr. Murray, what's your view about this?" And he looked at her with that one eye, because one was glass, that's the one that's kind, and the other eye, and said to her, "Such things should not be discussed on the Sabbath." and it brought the whole discussion to an end. Well, I don't know if he's that strict, but historically our church says such things shouldn't be discussed on the Sabbath. They really don't pertain to it. No, we do it. I know we do. We're sinners saved by grace. We still sin, but we need to get our act cleaned up a little bit. Attending public amusement parks or athletic events of whatever type should not be done on the Sabbath. Now, in all these activities, what are the ones forbidden on the Sabbath? Will not the day of the Sabbath itself prove to be a burden rather than a joy? Well, that depends on whether we love God or not. I mean, if you hate God, then the Sabbath's going to be a burden. There's no question about it. If you love God, it's not a burden. It's a delight. Because you're pleasing God. You know He's satisfied with you. You know, God doesn't ask, did you have a good time at church today? He asks, did you honor me on my Sabbath day? That's what He's interested in. Not, are you happy? Question is He happy with us? If our love is for the world and the things of the world, of course, any Sabbath observance will prove to be an unwelcome burden upon us because we care not for the things of God. But if the supreme devotion of our life is our love to God, we will welcome the opportunity and the privilege of turning aside from the ordinary affairs to devote ourselves wholly to the Sabbath day, to worship our God, and to seek His kingdom and His righteousness in those special ways that He has given to us. Well, then we are confronted with this next and last area. In addition to religious worships, what activities are proper on the Sabbath day? What can we do? That's a good question. You already said what we don't do. Well, what do you fill it up with? What can you do? Besides the duties of religious worships and the works of necessity and mercy, the following forms of activity are certainly proper for the Sabbath day. These are the things you can, clearly, without question. They're not doubtful, you can do. Reading the Bible and all Orthodox literature. Wouldn't matter if it is Christian literature that is exalting, telling a story about somebody's relationship with God. It doesn't matter if it's theology or Christian education. Anything that is of a religious nature and order can be talked about, including the reading of the scripture. The reading and telling Bible stories to children is also lawful. Playing various Bible games and having family enjoyments together are not wrong on the Sabbath. Writing material that is proper to the forms of evangelical activity, that may be done, but not to everyday labors and practices as such. Listening to Orthodox religious broadcasts on the radio or television. And then we ask, what special responsibility rests upon ministers and other church officers in the matter of the Sabbath observance? And with that, I'll close by simply pointing out, ministers and all other church officers should set the example. Too often, we are inconsistent. We need to learn to be more consistent and encourage each other in being consistent. Sabbath observance before the members of the church and those who should bear witness to the teaching of the Bible on this subject as occasion are required to keep the Sabbath. That's what God did. Now, there's a lot of things that you could not do in Israel I have not even mentioned. I think they are things that pertain primarily to Israel, but these are the things that are still a part of God's work of the Sabbath. It is our delight. It should be your delight. And if you're not delighting in the Sabbath, if you're not looking for the gathering of the saints, the getting together, to grow, hearing the truth preached, fellowshipping with one another, having dinners together, If you're not enjoying that, there's something wrong with you. Because if that is your love for God, it's not much of a love. It's kind of like the husband who says to the wife, I love you, I'll give myself to do all that I'm supposed to do for you. And yet he runs around on her with other women when he is not supposed to. But I love you. But I just happen to love running around with other women too. What kind of love is that? You and I call it an illicit love. It's not real. It's really an act of hatred and disrespect to the other individual. Our God is married to us in Christ. We are the bride of Christ. He expects his bride to behave as a bride who loves and honors her head, which is Christ, and seeks to do all they can do, seeks to correct all their problems as they can, realizing we don't have to beat ourselves up over it, but when we find areas that we feel like we need to address and deal with, we do it because we love God, because we want to make him pleased with us in all that we do. And we want him to be satisfied with all that we give to him as it belongs properly to him in this life that we live as believers. Shall we pray?